The two prophets Haggai and Zechariah were active at the same time. In terms of content, their messages overlap to some extent, but their styles are very different. Haggai is simple and direct. Zechariah is complex and rich in imagery. Let's take a look at the expressive prophet Zechariah, the messenger. The prophet Zechariah came from a family of priests, cf. Nehemiah 12:16. He was, therefore, both a priest and a prophet. Zechariah began his prophetic ministry as a young man, 2:8. His first prophecy took place 2 months after the first prophecy of Haggai, which was probably on 1 November 520 BC, Hag 1:1, Zech 1:1, 1 point. It is assumed that the book of Zechariah was not completed until a few decades later, around 480 BC, as Greece is assumed to be a known power in chapter 9:13. Consequently, the victorious battles of the Greeks against the Persians, 490/480 BC, may already have taken place at this time. Zechariah's life came to a bloody end. He was killed by his countrymen in a holy place, Matthew 23:35. The message. Zechariah is particularly concerned with the present and future Jerusalem. His prophecy is divided into two large parts. The first comprises chapters 1 through 8. These are precisely dated messages that were delivered during the building of the temple in Jerusalem. 1:1, 1:7, Sildai-El. The focus here is on Zechariah's 8 night visions, 1:7 to 6:15. Chapters 9 to 14 form the second part. These undated messages were given after the temple was built. Chapters 9 to 11 show the first coming of the Messiah and his rejection by the Jews, and chapters 12 to 14 show the second coming of the Messiah and his acceptance, which is still in the future, from today's perspective. Glimpses from the prophecy of Zechariah. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Zechariah 4:6-10. 2 men among the returning Jews played a key role in the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the governor of the province of Judea, Ezra 3:8ff. It was these 2 who resumed the stalled construction of the temple. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah encouraged them to do so and supported them, Ezra 4:24ff. The book of Haggai is primarily addressed to Joshua and Zerubbabel, Hag 1:1, 2:2, 2:20, and in Zechariah there is a chapter dedicated to each of them. Zechariah 3 is about the high priest Joshua, who was particularly concerned with the inner state of God's people. How could the people whom he represented as high priests stand before God with their guilt? Satan accused them of this, and Joshua could not say a word in reply. What now? God acts. He takes away the injustice and he forgives. V. 4.9. Chapter 4 applies specifically to the governor Zerubbabel, who was of royal lineage. He was more concerned with the external condition of God's people. The Jews were numerically very weak and were under the rule of the Persians. Could they even be a testimony for God, a lampstand that spread light? Cf.v2. The Persian king Artaxerxes' ban on building stood before them like a mountain, v7, which had also brought work on the temple to a standstill, Ezra 4:21-24. What was to be done? Should Zerubbabel join forces with other powers in order to confront the enemies? Should he use all his intellectual powers and organizational skills to wrest a building permit from Artaxerxes? No, help lay not in human power and strength, but in the power of God. He wanted to pave the way so that the building of his house could be completed. V8. This did not mean that Zerubbabel was allowed to put his hands in his lap. Rather, he was to use them diligently. V9. To press ahead with the building of the temple, trusting in God. Although the temple was nothing compared to Solomon's magnificent temple, Tevshik Fahag 2:3, Zerubbabel and his followers were reminded that they should not despise the day of small things. God was pleased when they continued to build his house to the end. Vit 10, Hag 1:8. The building work today. Give up or press on. Today is also a day of small things when we perhaps wistfully think of the times of great revivals. The work for the spiritual house of God, see 1 Corinthians 3, is currently often weak, receives little attention, and produces few results. On the one hand, this applies to evangelistic efforts with the aim that people become living stones in the house of God. Not many people respond to an invitation to a gospel meeting, stop at book tables, read tracts attentively, or take time to talk about their faith. On the other hand, as far as the work among the people of God is concerned, perhaps it looks like this. The brother we wanted to encourage to read the Bible is more and more absorbed by his job. The sad sister we were trying to help seems to have almost given up. The young people's meeting is falling apart due to lack of interest, and it is difficult to mobilize anyone for the book table work and similar activities. And now, should we give up? No, because that would mean despising the day of small things. Therefore, should we roll up our sleeves to show everyone how it's done? But that would also be missing the point. God wants us to do what he wants us to do, firmly trusting in his help. He can remove obstacles, break down resistance, and make things happen that hardly anyone believes in. Yes, even today. Christ in the book of Zechariah. Incidentally, the ruler Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua are also types of the Lord Jesus, as Zechariah 6, 12-13 makes clear. Christ will one day build the temple and sit on the throne as ruler and priest. This is just one of many passages in Zechariah that point to the Lord Jesus. In the following incomplete list, we mention 14 of them. They are intended to stimulate further study, which is also the purpose of the biblical references in brackets. It is important and interesting to examine the question of whether what is said of the Lord Jesus in the passages mentioned has already been fulfilled or is still to come. The Lord Jesus is, according to the prophet Zechariah, the servant of the Lord, chapter 3:8, Matthew 12:18, the branch, chapter 3:8 and 6:12, Isaiah 4:2, Isaiah 53:2, the stone with seven eyes, chapter 3:9, Isaiah 28:16, Revelation 5:6, the priest king on the throne, chapter 6:13, Hebrews 7:1-3. The righteous, saving, humble king riding on a donkey, chapter 9:9, Matthew 21:5, the great ruler who brings peace, chapter 9:10, Isaiah 9:5, the cornerstone, chapter 10:4, Psalm 118:22, Ephesians 2:20, the tent peg, chapter 10:4, Isaiah 22:23, the battle bow, chapter 10:4, Genesis 49:24, the true shepherd who is poorly rewarded, chapter 11:4-14, John 10:11, Matthew 27:3f, the pierced one who is mourned over, chapter 12:10, Rev 1:7, the friend of his people who is beaten by them, chapter 13:5-6, Jana 19:14-16, the companion of the Lord who is smitten by him, chapter 13:7, Isaiah 53:10, the one who appears for battle on the Mount of Olives, chapter 14:3-4, Revelation 19:11ff, Acts 1:11-12. Anyone who studies the prophet Zechariah will learn a lot about the Lord Jesus. Does this not encourage us to take a closer look at Zechariah?